Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. We're going to fast forward a couple of chapters in the book of Joshua. We may come back. What's happening in the chapters 12 and 13, they're talking about the divisions of the land and different things like that of the different areas and the different people and different groups and different tribes and which areas they get. And there will probably be a message that will come back and look at that as a whole as we get closer to the end. And I think you'll understand that a little bit better as we get closer. But tonight we're going to focus in on one gentleman. His name is Caleb. And we're going to look at some characteristics in his life to help us remain a conqueror. Tonight, the title of the message is How to Remain a Conqueror. Caleb was a man of God, and you're going to see here in the story how God used him and how he gets continued on. I tell you, in our lives, we know people that have been faithful for the years and been faithful in the years, and that's what I want to be. And we've been talking a lot about the spiritual life and talking about the book of Joshua. There is conquest and there is conflict, but it's all about the promises that God has given us. Even though that there is conflict and conquest, you know what? God's given us promises. And in our Christian lives, we can live a victorious Christian life and we can remain faithful and we can continue on. And we've seen the ups and downs with Israel and with Joshua in the book of Joshua so far. We saw the great battles of Jericho that was won. We saw a couple weeks ago when we looked at the many kings that were beaten there. And then we talked about the downfalls with the Gibeonites. We talked about the downfalls with the Ais. And it's reaching out and just claiming the promises and possessing the promises that God's given us. And in this life, in this story about Caleb, he comes forward to claim his inheritance. They're dividing up the lands and they're saying, you know, Gad gets this area and this person gets this area and this person gets this area. And now all of the promised land has not been conquered yet. Chapter number 13, I think it talks about how Joshua is well stricken in age, but there's still much land to be possessed. And God's intention was for them to take and possess the entire promised land, but it's now been given to the individual tribes to push out the lands and push out the other areas. And when we get to those later on, when we talk about the divisions, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But Caleb walks forward and he claims his inheritance and he says, he reminds Joshua of some important things. Well, most of us remember who Caleb is. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that Moses had sent to 40 years earlier or 45 years earlier to spy out the land. And Joshua was one of the 12. And remember how all 12 spies went out and how all 12 came back. And two of the spies, which was Joshua and Caleb, says, let's go in, let's take the land, let God's given it to us. But the other 10, they says, we can't do it. And because of the other 10, the Bible talks about here, and Caleb says, they caused the people's heart to melt. They caused them to say, we can't do it. And they turned their back on what God's promise and what God's plan was for them. And then they spent 40 years kind of like a death march in the wilderness, dying in the wilderness. Now Caleb, after wandering around in the wilderness for these 40 years with this group of people, they have gone and crossed the Jordan River. They have conquered Jericho and they conquered Ai and they conquered many of the different areas and they're starting to divide up the land. Caleb walks forward and tells Joshua, I want the land that God promised me. Let's go ahead and look here at this story and we're going to look at how to remain a conqueror. And it says in Joshua chapter 14, we're going to start in verse number 5, and the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Verse number 6, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. So that's the tribe that Caleb is known to be from. Some even speculate Caleb may have been adopted into this tribe because this Jephunneh is known. If you go back and you search and you study, he's probably from a different area. Many people think he's somebody that is an Edenite from the Kezanite area, but he is now with the tribe of Judah. He steps forward and says, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kezanite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. So he's reminding him, okay, you remember back 45 years ago what God said I could have, my inheritance, the promise that God has given me, and he's saying he wants it now. Look what it says in verse number 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. So we see here, what was the report that Caleb gave? Caleb gave one, it is is well able to be overtaken. It was one of God can help us. God can give us this land. And it wasn't just word, lip service. It says it was in his heart. His heart was filled with this. He saw this land. He saw what God had intended. He saw the promises. He says, this was my heart. This is, I was giving my heart. And it says in verse number 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now this phrase here, but I wholly followed the Lord my God, has been contributed to Caleb on many occasions, at least 5 different occasions in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some of those other ones, but wholly followed the Lord. And Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. So he's saying to Joshua, now remember what was said. Moses told me on that day, when everybody else was saying no, when everybody else was saying they could not make it, God pronounces his judgment on the people. God pronounces the fact that only Caleb and Joshua was going to get to go into the land. He says, you remember, Moses told me on that day, and what did he say? Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm sorry, let's go back up to number 9. Surely the Lord whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thy inheritance. So the area that he espied out, the area where he had walked while he was spying out the land, God said, you can have that. And thy children's forever. It's wonderful to have a heritage to pass down to your children. And so that's what Caleb is doing. And it says, why is the purpose of this? Why can God bless him like this? Why is God making this promise? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse number 10, and now behold, the Lord had kept me alive, as he said, and these 45 years. You say 45 years, I thought they wandered for 40 years. Well, it speaks there about the time of the warring and the battling and where they're coming up to this spot. Even since the day the Lord spake this word unto Moses. And then he mentions here, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old, you know, 85 years old. That's getting a little bit older. He's getting up in years here, but he doesn't feel it. Look what it says in verse number 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, you know, God could have preserved his body. And Caleb is saying, look, I'm as strong today as I was back then. And I know some older people sometimes feel like they're as strong as they were many years ago. I know Mr. Armstrong obviously is on my heart and my mind because of service tomorrow. But even up till he was laying in the bed and he was saying, I can get up out of this bed. I can do this. I can do that. And his mind, he's like, I'm as strong as I can do all these things. And here, I don't know if Caleb here has God has preserved his body for this, or Caleb understood something. Caleb got the fact that his strength was found in God. And if God was willing, if God was able to make him as strong today as he would have done 45 years ago, his faith hadn't waved. His faith hasn't wandered away. He's still believing in God. I do believe that God kept him stronger. I think God has made him to the ability to now fight this battle that he is going to fight. You say, what battle? Well, see, God's given him a promise, but he still has to do something to receive this promise. Let's keep on going. It says, he said, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. So he said, look, this is what I want. This is what I've seen. I experienced the big grapes that they talked about. I've seen all the wonderful things. This is the mountain I want. This is the promise that God's given me. So we see first the challenge. It's a mountain. Mountains are harder to take. Mountains are harder to defeat because the people that are protecting their land, the giants that are there, they're going to have an advantage because they're going to have to come up this mountain. But I can picture Caleb going up this mountain, maybe a sword in one hand and singing the praises of God and leading this group of Judah up there. It says, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims, now Anakims were known for being the giants of the area, were there. And that the cities were great and fenced. So these are challenges that Caleb is going to have to face here. First of all, it's a mountain. Next, it's giants. And then the cities are wall and fence. If so, and here's the important thing, if so, be the Lord will be with me. You know, if God has given me this promise and I have the strength that he's given me, then you know what? I'm going to be able to accomplish this because God's going to do it through me. I may be 85 years old and I may have wasted 40 years in the wilderness wandering around this group of unbelievers, but here and now, if so be the Lord will be with me, then, and once again, his strength is found in God, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. You know, Joshua gives his blessing to him. He reminds, he probably didn't need to be reminded. Joshua probably already knew. I can imagine Caleb probably told Joshua more than once. And it's coming. There's a day coming. I want that mountain. And gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Now Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. Now look, here's the reason. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name Hebron before was Kir-Jephbaroth, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for tonight. Lord, I pray that you help us leave being challenged. Lord, help us to wholly follow after you. Help us to have the right spirit and the right attitude about things. And Lord, help us to find our trust and our faith in you and the promises you've given us. Lord, I pray that you speak to people's hearts. I know sometimes it's easy to quit. It's easy to get tired. It's easy to focus on other things. But Lord, when we do those things, we take our eyes off of you. And Lord, we don't reach the mountains you want us to accomplish. Lord, thank you for the story of Caleb here. Help us tonight to learn some wonderful challenges. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I mentioned before, there's so many Christians today that are kind of just living in this happy, just to be saved type of mode. I think it's like window shopping. You know, you go out and you window shop and you look and look and you're never going to experience the other things on the side of the window. Some people like the window shop. Some people don't like the window shop. Me and my wife are a little bit different. I don't mind going shopping because I like to look for good deals. I can spend hours, maybe not hours, but I can spend some time looking around for the right type of deal, never buy a thing and walk away happy. She hates looking for things. And if she's out looking for something, she's going to want to buy something. And some people like window shopping, some people don't. I have a cute little story about this. And husbands many times don't like window shopping. A fellow said to his wife one time, "Why do you call it shopping? You never buy anything." She replied, "Why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything." See, Christians many times are so happy with just seeing the promises of God at far. Oh, it'd be nice to have the power of God. It'd be nice to touch the hem of his garment. It'd be nice to be spirit-filled and have the presence of God and the moving of God and seeing God work and move in your life and seeing people saved and the fruits of the Spirit just coming out of you, springing out of you, and seeing the revival fire. I mean, those things would be nice, and from a distance and looking through a window and looking through a glass, someday I'd like to have those things. But see, Caleb is different here. Caleb, he wasn't just satisfied with thinking someday maybe I'll get that. Caleb wanted to experience what God had intended for him. Caleb on that day in the book of Numbers, and we're going to look at that in a second, said, you know what? We are well able to overtake them. We can do this. This is what God has planned for us. This was God's promise. And this is what I want. Now, 45 years later, 40 years of watching people die, 40 years of watching, you know, family and friends on this death march. 45 years later, he comes up and he steps up and says, I want my mountain now. I want the inheritance that God's given me. I've been thinking of it. I've been dreaming of it. I've been praying for it because God told me I could have this. Now, give it to me. Now, he's not saying to Joshua, I want you to take the army up there and I want you to clear the mountain out for me and I want you to provide it for me. I don't want any work. No. He's saying, I'm willing to go up and do the work. And I want to have that spirit. When I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, I want God's best for me. I want to be living in the victorious Christian life. I want to be like Caleb at the end. You can look at this passage of scripture. You can look at Caleb as a conqueror. You can look at how he helped the next generation. He gave this over to his kids. You look over to chapter number 15. He makes a challenge and he says, whoever's going to go up there and take that part of the mountain, they can have my daughter to wife. He was encouraging the next generation to go and do something for God. And there's a lot of different things, but tonight, I think there's a few things in here I'd like for us to look at and just say, you know what? I want to remain. I want to have that attitude. I want to have that faithfulness at the end of my life too. And it's something that I can remain a conqueror. We've been talking a lot about having the ability to overcome our mountains and overcome our walls and overcome the sins and having victory in our Christian life. But it's not that I don't have the faith, but probably my biggest challenge is continuing on. And doing the same thing over and over. Like we see in the nation of Israel here. They did great at Jericho, but then they struggled with Ai. They beat Ai, and then they struggled with Gibeon. And it was kind of like a roller coaster ride. But Caleb here, I think, and what I'm seeing in this man is a man who wanted to experience the spiritual life to its fullest. He didn't want to miss out on things like peace and joy, fellowship, power. He didn't want to miss out on the glory of God. He didn't want to just be window shopping. He actually said, I want to experience what God has given me, what God has promised me. I wanted all that God wants for me. Three things here I want you to think about how to remain a conqueror. First thing is he followed God wholly. He followed God wholly. Now, the first key here to this success is that Caleb knew who God was, knew what God wanted because he stayed close to God. Now this word, this phrase, wholly follow God, it gives this idea of being closing the gap. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's a phrase that hunters would use to refer to closing in the gap between themselves and their prey. It refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping his distance between him and God very, very minimal. If God wanted this, I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust in God, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to say yes, I'm going to obey. I'm in wholly, that I am completely, you know, if God says this, then I want this. If God tells me to go beat a giant, I'm going to go beat a giant. If God tells me to go walk in a desert for 40 years with these other unbelievers, I'm going to go ahead and do it. If God tells me this, he didn't want anything to be between him and God. He wanted to wholly follow after him. And when I think of that phrase, I think of every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. It's not separated. God, you can have me on Sunday. God, you can have me on Wednesday night. God, you can have me for this half hour in the morning. God, you can have for this hour at night. Now, God, you can have me for this service and this service. It was all, he belonged to God. And some people think that's too much to ask. Some people, when you hear preaching and teaching like that, they think it's wrong thinking and it's just pushing people too much and too hard and too tough. But in the Bible, it tells us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If you get that commandment down and nailed down, you can wholly follow after God. Think about it, what it says. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If we want to remain faithful, if we want to remain the conqueror, if we want to 10 years from now and 15 years from now and 20 years from now be a person that's still having spiritual victories, we're going to have to follow him wholly. When the Bible talks about offering our lives as a living sacrifice, it doesn't say that's for the Sunday school teacher or that's for the preacher or that's for the missionary or that's for the deacon. No, it says it's our reasonable service. It's for all of us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Why don't we take our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13? You can't really talk about Caleb without at least hearing the story that, in a sense, made him famous. Now, Moses has sent them out. The 12 spies come back. They're giving their report in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 25. They're giving their report. They've searched out the land for the 40 days. Numbers 13, the Bible says in verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them some amazing things, things that they had never seen, never experienced. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. They're agreeing. This is everything we have ever dreamed of. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. It's what our parents talked about, is what we've been looking for, is what we've been dreaming of. And this is the fruit of it. And they show them the fruit, the cluster of grapes that it took two men to carry. Nevertheless, these are the ten. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountain, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse number 30, you see the report that's been given. It's discouraging to the people. Caleb hears that, and Caleb stilled the people. And I like that. You can see, look, quiet, you know, quiet out. Listen, this is what Caleb is saying here, before Moses, and said, let us go up at once. He says, stop even thinking about it. God's given us a promise, and it's there. It's everything he said. Let us go up at once. Don't keep on just thinking about it and doubting. Let us go up at once and possess it. Once again, it didn't say he had to fight the battle and win it. All he had to do was possess it. For we, now look, are well able. It's not, there's a chance. It's not, I like our odds. It's not, if we work really hard, we'll get it. No, it's, we can possess this because we are well able to overcome it. But, and I hate that word sometimes, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report to the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, it's a familiar verse, but kind of puts it into perspective. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So we talk about the exaggeration here. Caleb is saying we are well able to overcome it. He knows by God. They view it as, look, we're nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. I tell you, when a person is lacking in their faith, they exaggerate things. They make a big deal out of things that God can accomplish without any type of problem. It takes a spiritual person to take something that most people would consider very big and minimize it. It takes a very spiritual person who's going to take something that's important and maximize it. Chapter 14, look what it says in verse 24. You know, that they've had this problem. The Lord has cast down, he's casting his judgment for the lack of faith. Verse 24 in chapter 14, the Bible says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. This is chapter 14, verse 24. He had a different spirit. There was a spirit in him, one that wholly followed after God. Another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So there was a commandment that was given there. Now take your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1 is just probably about 15 or 20 pages over. Exodus, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Look at verses 35 and 36. Chapter Deuteronomy 1:35, the Bible says, surely they shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. So we see here, God has given him a promise. These are the promises. Caleb, the area you walked on, those things that you saw, that is what I'm going to be willing to give you. You say, what are you getting at? Why did God bless him? What is it that we see in here that he was different? What was the spirit that was in Caleb that wasn't in the rest of them? as he wholly followed after God. He had a desire to be used of God. He had a desire to be close to God. He didn't make up the excuses and say, you know what? A living sacrifice is just too much. Loving the Lord our God with all our hearts and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength is just asking too much. If we really truly want to continue on remaining a conqueror and desiring God's best and willing to be open to the spiritual things of God all our lives, we have to say, you know what? I'm going to wholly follow after God. There's going to be some things in here that maybe I don't understand, some things in here that might confuse me, some things in here that people might be on the minority, because that's what happens here. Wholly following after God meant that Caleb and Joshua stood over here. And remember when we preached a sermon, we talked about the 2 versus the 1.5 million. You got 1.5 million over here saying one thing, and you got 2 people over here saying one thing. Sometimes it means you're going to have to stand alone. To be wholly committed to God, that even sometimes God's own people will not understand. And we got to make sure that this is what the Lord wants us to do. We really want to remain faithful and committed. We need to make sure that we are wholly committed to God. Now, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's why I think here many times when we fail being wholly committed to God is because we're torn. I want this and this and this, but I want to serve God too. I want this in my life, but I want God. And I'm not saying, you know, family and church and family and God, they intertwine the right way. Working and doing, having a life and doing other things, they intertwine. It's just that we take God with them. We want God to be close with us. We want to walk with the Lord. Caleb wasn't getting before God. Caleb wasn't flowing back and saying, God, I don't want to have this. Caleb was, God, wherever you're at, that's where I want to be. If this is where the Lord's at, this is where I want to be. So we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but we'll go to point number 2. He wholly followed to God. Second thing, he did not become bitter. He did not become bitter. When I was thinking and praying and considering, this one thing kept on coming to my mind. This one thought here, you know what? If I was stuck with 40 years with some whining, complaining, and people that, you know, in the hot sun, and I was watching people die all the time and people murmuring, complaining, I might ask God, God, couldn't you just take me back then instead of making me walk around with all these people? That's not Caleb. Caleb here is, he's wholly into it. This is what God wanted. This is the punishment that God gave. He had the right spirit. It was a different spirit than everybody else we saw there, but in chapter 14 of Joshua. Now, how in the world could he do that? Why, you know, how important is it that we keep the right attitudes? How important is that we guard against bitterness? And one of the things I think many people struggle with, and I've seen it happen so often and so much, is they become bitter. They don't even realize that they're bitter, and there's a relationship that is broken, and you know what? They're not willing to get it right. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, follow peace with all men. You know, could Caleb been up on the soapbox saying, you should have listened because you didn't listen to me. Look at so-and-so die. Look at so-and-so die. Now, sometimes what meekness is, you know, is strength under control. We might have the opportunity to say something, but does it always need to be said? Is it going to be beneficial? Caleb wholly follows after God. He followed peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now look what it says in Hebrews, looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God. God has grace intended for your life. He wants to show you unmerited favor. But when you let bitterness in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail that grace of God. You're going to let something come into your heart. You're going to let something come into your life that's going to rob your joy, it's going to rob your focus, and it's going to rob the ability to stay a conqueror. And he says here, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm thinking, if I was Caleb, I probably would have became bitter. 45 years later on, he steps up and says, you know what? God made me this a promise. This is what I've been looking forward to. His mind wasn't in the wilderness wandering. His mind was in Canaan land many years ahead. His eyes weren't focused on what everybody else was doing and the problems of everybody else. His eyes was someday receiving the inheritance, that mountain that God had given him. His eyes and his focus was on the relationship with God. His eyes and his focus was the promise that God had given him. It wasn't on those that were trying to figure it out. I think about those 40 years that were wasted, and I think about how many times, I know sometimes you try to pull pictures out and illustrations, but I think that that's where many Christians are at. They get saved, and God's got this plan, and God's got this purpose, but they spend 40 years just wandering around. They spend their entire lives just wandering around. God's perfect plan is somewhere. It is right there. God has intentions and spiritual living and Christian living just right across Jordan River. All you have to do is go and possess it. But we spend our time just wandering around that wilderness, chasing our own selves, just wondering and murmuring and complaining. And yeah, we know God can do it. It'd be nice to have that spiritual victory, but we just wander. Caleb is, he doesn't become bitter. I like that in this story because I know sometimes when other people are struggling, it's easy to become bitter. When other things are not going the way we expected, and we want that mountaintop experience, and we want that mountaintop experience right now. But you know what? Caleb had to wander around for 40 years. But that's what God didn't say, okay, Caleb, I'm going to give you this mountain right now, and I'm going to take those other 40 years, and I'm going to let them go walk. No, God even put Joshua in charge of them. I mean, what type of reward was that? You know, to have to put up with him for 40 years. You know, this was God's plan. But Caleb said, if this is what you want, Lord, I'm wholly following after you. I want to stay close to you. You know, you say, how do we apply that to today? Well, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down the right hand of the throne of God. We need to keep our focus. We need to keep our focus on him. We need to cling to the promises. You know, over 1 million people died in the wilderness those 40 years. Caleb hung to the promise that God made him through Moses that he would survive and he would claim his inheritance. How does he sustain all those years of being with those people, murmuring and complaining? Instead of focusing on the physical, he looked forward to the future promises. And I think that's what we need to do. Instead of murmuring and complaining about our circumstances, we look to the future, what God can do, and we desire to have what God's going to give us. Third thing, how we can remain a conqueror. First thing is make sure that we don't become bitter. Also, make sure that we're wholly following after God. The third thing is we just got to learn to trust in him. Learn to trust in him. Look what it says here, and some great verses here. Look what it says in verse number 10. Now behold, the Lord have kept me. This is Joshua chapter 14. We're back there. The Lord have kept me alive. God kept me alive these 45 years. Verse number 11. I'm as strong today because my strength is found in the Lord. Verse number 12. That the cities were great and fenced, even though there's great challenges. If it so be, the Lord will be with me. God will enable me to do everything he has desired for me to do. Caleb was one that stilled the people before Moses and says, we are well able to overtake it. Yes, the mountains may seem hard. They might seem tough. The walled cities may seem impenetrable. And the giants might seem overwhelming. And yes, sometimes we get a victory and sometimes we have some win. We have a win and we shout and we live in that victory and we live in that win for so long. But we forget that's how God wants our Christian life to be all along. They say, Pastor, it's not always easy. It's not these 40 years, I'm sure, were not easy for Caleb. But he still trusted in God's power. He never doubted. He didn't come after the end of the 45 years and say, you know what? Well, God made me go through the desert wilderness. I don't even know if God's going to keep his promises now. It doesn't say that. He says, give me my mountain. I don't care if there's fenced cities there. I don't care if there's giants there. I don't care if there's whatever it's there. I know God's promised me that. And that's what I want. And if God has promised us peace, and God has promised us provisions, and God has promised us the power of God in our lives, that's what we should want. That's what we should be looking to. The promises that God has given me. But instead, we spend time around with wandering around. What's best? What should I do? You think about it. The comparison of the giants, you know, they were taking that outlook from fear and they were saying, look, we're nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. And you think a 10-foot tall man and a little grasshopper, the comparison to the exaggeration that's there, it's like, you're right. If you look at it that way, you're not going to have victory. But Caleb looked at those giants and said, there's nothing, they're nothing compared to God. That giant is nothing compared to God. God created him. God can do whatever he wants with him. So there's a difference between living in fear and the spirit of fear and looking through the eyes of faith? Are we going to live in that spirit of fear, or are we going to live in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ? Caleb pictures a Christian who's willing to pay any price, fight any battle in order to win the victory that God has promised him and that's waiting for him. He says, I want that mountain. That's what I want. God's promised it to me. Now, what do I have to do to get it? What is it that I need to do? He steps up and he says, I want it now. God promised me this. And Christian, as we can go through the series, you know, there's a lot of things we can learn. But if we're never going to get to the spot that we believe and trust God in the promises, we're going to wander around that desert for 40 years. We're going to live. We're going to die. Probably people are going to say nice things about you at your funeral. I don't know. I don't think there's much nice things you can say about me. But probably somebody's going to say something nice, but then you're going to have wasted the life that God's given you. You're going to window picture and says, boy, I wish I could have the power of God like that person. I wish I could have influenced people like that person. I wish I could have had that peace. I wish I could have had this and that. In your Christian life, do you want to wholly follow after God? Are you going to keep our right attitude and the right spirits? And are we going to trust in him? The problem is, many of us are not like the Calebs in the world. Many of us need to become like the Caleb in Numbers chapter 13. So when we're older, in Joshua 14, we can say, I'm still believing. I'm still trusting. I'm still looking for that mountain. God's been with me all this time. I know he's not going to fail me now. So are we going to remain a conqueror? Or many of us should maybe step up and say, you know what, with God, I'm able to conquer what God wants me to do. I'm able to enter into the promised land. I'm able to have victory. I'm able to overcome Jericho. I'm able to face the deceitfulness of the devil with the battle of the Gibeonites. I'm able not to say things are too small with Ai. I'm able not to let my sin, like Rahab didn't let her sin, slow her down. I'm able to live a victorious Christian life. We are well able to do it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed.